What John's going to pass at you right now is two different things. One is 12 rules to help you deal with police. And the other is some Supreme Court cases, which helps us keep in mind what our rights are out on the streets, what's already been decided in court. Bill wanted me to mention that there's some tracts called the Complete Christian Tracts. They're really for like false converts, I guess you could say, and for those who aren't reaching out to the lost. These are free in the back of the room if you want to pick some up on the way out. Okay, they're pamphlet type tracts, kind of like the Are You Good Enough to Go to Heaven tracts, about that size. Okay. If you open your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 13. I'm reading out of the New King James Version, and it says this. It says, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that you have, or hope that is in you, and do this with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Every person who suffers in this world, whether Christian or not, they suffer for one or two reasons, for doing good or for doing evil. And if you're a Christian, you should never suffer for doing evil. So when we're out in the streets, you may run into cops. I frequently run into them. I don't desire to run into them. I don't like running into them. But I've learned over the years that it's you need to keep your good conduct good. So they have nothing, you're blameless before the world. They have nothing to say bad about you. That's the way it should be at all times. But even though you're not doing bad, you're not doing evil, you still can stand firm. You still can stand firm if God calls you to. So we always have a good conscience that when they do defame you, they do speak wrongly against you, as if you are evildoers, that those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. One of the prayers I always pray for some of the hecklers I have on college campuses, the ones that are the rude and wicked and evil ones I have, I always pray that night for them that they'll be ashamed of their conduct. That they'll be ashamed of the way they acted towards someone who only means good towards them, who only wants them to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That they'll be ashamed. The conscience is one of the greatest assets we have as Christians. It's the one thing within unbelievers that'll convict them of their sin, including the Holy Spirit. So, you know, hopefully, you'll never run into the cops. You'll never have a problem with the cops. You know, we do live in America. We're not in an Islam republic, so we don't have the same situation as they do. But if you do run into the cops, these rules, these 12 rules, I didn't come up with these myself. This is from the streetpreachersfellowship.com. I believe this is wise counsel. Okay, so let's turn to dealing with police real quick, and we'll just kind of look this over. Before we get there, let me just do a quick overview of yesterday. Yesterday we talked about the fact that you have rights on public property. You have rights to preach the gospel. You have rights to hand out tracts. Handing out tracts is not solicitation. It's freedom of religion. Don't let anyone tell you that. It's freedom of religion. And if anybody knows that, a military town should know that. That hundreds of thousands of people have shed their blood for these rights. Okay? So you're on public property, public sidewalks. I don't care if there's a Dogwood Festival going on. I don't care who has a permit to use that property for their whatever they want to do. You have the right to be there. Okay? But we'll talk about some things you don't have the right to do. You don't have the right to block a public sidewalk. You don't have the right to force someone to take a track. If they told you no, leave them alone. Let them go by. They don't want it. You don't have the right to cause a riot. to use the kind of language that'll cause maybe racist language or something like that. It'll cause someone to inflame the situation. The cops have right to stop you for that. You don't have a right to stop a car that's driving by. Say, here, take a track. You don't have a right to do that. Okay, so those are some things you don't have the right to do. But you have the right for freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Okay? So if you run to the cops, here's some things we can look at. Let's look at number one. Always speak in a professional manner. You know, your attitude will go a long way when it comes to dealing with the cops. Yes, sir. No, sir. You know, some of you were raised that way. Some of you weren't. But you want to speak very politely to the cops. And you want to have good character, Christian character when you're talking to them. Don't be rude to an officer. Because if you do end up getting arrested, God forbid, if you do, it's going to go on the report. And it's going to look bad against you. Okay? Number two, always designate one person within your group, within your area, involved in your situation, whether you're preaching open air or you're at a booth. Always designate one person to talk with the police. Anything above that is going to be confusion for the police. He'll be going back. He wants to talk to one person. So appoint one person, maybe the most mature person, a person who dealt with the police more often than anyone else. Always designate one person to talk with the police. Now, if you designate one person, that person's in the middle of witnessing to somebody when the cops come by or preaching, you go over there and take over for them, let them stop, and go talk to the police. This is important. Number three, always make a point of asking for the officer's business card. What happens a lot of times is that we forget to do this at the beginning. And then at the end, when we think there's a little bit of a confrontation there, we ask for it then they become defensive, and they don't want to give you anything. They don't want to give you their name, they don't want to give you their badge number, they don't want to give you the supervisor's name, they don't want to give you a business card. So you ask for it in the beginning. You'll build rapport. If you've been a salesman in the past, as I have been, you'll understand that rapport is important. So when they come over, you shake their hand, you tell them your name, you get their name, get their business card from the beginning. Then you already have it. You don't have to worry about that. So you do this at the beginning. Number four is something that I learned. It's something very new for me that I learned. Always stand facing the officer and slightly away from his gun side. Okay? I don't know why this is, but I guess he doesn't want you to grab his gun or something. But stand away from his gun side. And from what it says here in the council here, number four, it says that if you don't, they'll do it for you. Because they're always taught to stand a good distance away where they can give you an elbow to the head or something like that. So you want to, what's that
called? The interview position.
The interview position.
Yeah. They want to retain their weapon like that and have you left hand or right hand.
That's good. So that's good counsel then, you would say. Okay. All right, number five. Never stand with a sign in your hand. Now, most of us don't use signs, but if you do have a sign or a banner or a sandwich board on, you want to take that off, give it to someone else nearby, so that the police officer knows you have your full and undivided attention and you're being respectful to him. Okay? Number six. This is very important, number six. I've dealt with both extremes in this situation. Determine the temperament of the call officer before you commit yourself to making any decisions that will be irreversible. A lot of times you'll run into a cop right off the bat who'll just be really angry. He's already decided before he gets to you that you are doing something wrong, when you probably aren't. And these are the kind of cops you don't want to deal with. So you have to decide, we'll get to this point here in a second, but I talked about this yesterday. You're going to have to decide, this doesn't happen very often, but it does happen in America. If you don't know about this happening in America, check out the website, silencingchristians.com. Okay, but people do get arrested for Christianity in America, and they've done nothing wrong. They've been lawful, done nothing wrong, they get arrested. So you need to decide beforehand if you're willing to be arrested or not. If you're not willing to be arrested, then you have to be willing to obey the cop's orders, especially an unreasonable cop. Unreasonable cops will arrest you like that, okay? Unlawful cops. Well, during New Year's Eve this past year, I was in Raleigh preaching the gospel, and I was using amplification. Now, I'd been there 6 months before that during something called Raleigh Wide Open. And during Raleigh Wide Open, I was using an amp, and the cops protected me. I had hecklers that were angry with me. The cops would push them away, make sure that I was being protected, and that I was able to keep on preaching. During New Year's Eve, this young cop comes up to me and starts yelling at me right off the bat, telling me I need to turn the amp off right now or I'm going to be in big trouble. And I'm just trying to reason with him. He wouldn't be quiet, so I turned it off. I found his supervisor. Went and talked to his supervisor, told him the whole situation would happen, and the supervisor talked to him about it and chastised him for it. Okay? But you need to be aware of the person's temperament and how they're going to respond to you. In sales, I was always taught, and Gilbert can probably verify this, that if you stay calm, most times they'll mirror you. and they'll end up being more calm. If you escalate, guess what they're going to do? They're going to escalate with you. Okay, so you need to stay calm. Stay polite at all times. Okay, hopefully you can help the person calm down. That's my phone. You guys need to get your minds out of the room. All right. Okay, so determine the officer's temperament before you start talking. Okay, number seven, you want to determine beforehand, before you go out there, before God, with God's help, what you've decided to do when the situation ends up. What I like to do, if you're a Christian, you really need to be a thinker. Not only when it comes to this stuff, when it comes to answering objections, answering questions people might throw at you, you need to put yourself in the cop's position, in the lost sinner's position, and say, what are they going to say to me? How should I respond? Not only the manner, but what will my answers be? So you need to think these things through, meditate upon these things. That when the time comes up, you won't be surprised. You won't be caught off guard. You think about these things. So you need to be prepared ahead of time that if you're willing to go to jail, you're willing to go to jail. If you're not, you're not. That way you'll know how to respond. So you can reason with a cop, and if he comes to the conclusion where you say, well, are you telling me if I don't stop preaching right now, you're going to arrest me? You ask him that one question, and he says, yes. You know how you're going to respond. You're not going to make an emotional decision on the spot. You've decided ahead of time. Either you're saying, well, okay, I'm going to go talk to my crew here. I'm going to tell them, listen, you guys can go ahead. I'm deciding that I'm going to stay and preach. I'm going to stand up for the gospel and my rights according to the Constitution. Or you're going to say, well, you know what? I'm going to leave then. And if you had it, like yesterday we talked about, you always want audio protection at least, possibly video protection when you're out in the streets to protect yourself from unlawful cops. You've had it all documented. You've done everything right. That's the only time you ever want to get arrested. If you've done everything right. That way when you go to court, you know it'll be handled right. Okay? But if you decide not to get arrested that morning before you go out, you're going to say, okay, well, then I'm going to leave. And then you let the court system handle it. And we talked about yesterday three different groups that handle these kind of situations for free for the Christian. You have the Alliance Defense Fund. You have the ACLJ. You have the AFA Center for Law and Policy. These people are all First Amendment lawyers. They handle these cases all the time, and they'll work with you. And they're working with me on two cases right now that hopefully will help open up college campuses in North Carolina from their unlawful permit process. Okay, number eight. Defying a police order to cease. All right, this says that this is a difficult time in any preacher's ministry, in any officer's day. Never do this disrespectfully. Okay, it says right here, it says, the right to preach, distribute gospel tracts, and display signs or witness one-to-one are lawfully protected constitutional activity. But we've talked about yesterday. Let me go through this again. It's about the sixth to the last line down, seventh to the last line down. It says, examples of conduct police can restrict. Passing out tracts to people in automobiles who are driving or stopping in the street, blocking entrances to stores, blocking pedestrian traffic, attempting to force people to take literature after they have refused it, preaching in a residential or hospital district, or an area restricted for the protection of government officials. So if you're engaging in law, you know, your First Amendment rights, in these situations, they can stop you. Do not refuse an officer's order in these situations. Obey them. If you're blocking traffic, get out of the way. If you're blocking the sidewalk, get out of the way. Obey them. They can't stop you for these things, even though your free religion is what you're exercising. Okay? Number nine, how to refuse an officer's order. Always be polite, but be firm. Okay? Let's go down to about the fifth or sixth line down. It says, advise the officer in charge that you respect his authority. And understand he has an unpleasant job to do, but that you cannot conscientiously adhere to his unconstitutional and unlawful demand, and that you will have to continue preaching even at the cost of imprisonment. Okay, remember, this is something you decide that morning beforehand, not on the spot. So you're not making an emotional decision. You're making a conscious, willful decision as you're praying before the Lord before you even go out to the streets. Okay? And at this point in time, you might even want to tell the group you're with what's going on, have them even pray for you real quick, and have them, if they're not willing to be arrested with you, disperse from the area before they arrest you. Okay? All right, let's go to the number 10. Very important part. If you've come to this point, you say, okay, I'm willing to be arrested, I know I've done everything lawful, I've done everything right, I've been polite, I've been respectful to the cop the whole time. I believe he's being unconstitutional, I'm willing to stand up for my rights. Now you're submitting to arrest. The moment he touches you, the moment he says you're under arrest, you stop all activity, you stop preaching, you fall limp, basically. Because anything else, he can write down, possibly write down in the report, especially if he's really unreasonable cop, write down and say, resisting arrest. You don't want anything like that against you. You just want to let him do what he's going to do. You've done what you're going to do. Now be a man of God or a woman of God and take it as you said you will. You know, we read today that it's that if we suffer for goodness, for righteousness' sake, it's better to suffer for good than for evil. Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready. Okay. Now let's look at some things to watch for and avoid while being arrested. Number one, you are a preacher. You're not an activist or a protester. You're a preacher. Behave like a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You came to understand and preach. Not to protest, not to be an activist, but to preach the gospel. Act like a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do not sit down and protest, because the standing to preach is going to jail. You're going to jail because you're standing to preach, not sitting down and protest. So act like a minister of the gospel. Number three, when arrested by an overreacting, arrogant officer, be very careful and constantly alert. There are officers who will physically rough you up, even to provoke you to make you do something you don't want to do. So be on the alert. Have self-control. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Self-control. Have self-control, submit to the arrest, and be careful. Don't react. You know, the good minister of Jesus Christ doesn't react. He acts like Jesus Christ. Doesn't react on impulses. He acts like Jesus Christ. Number four, from this point on, all you're required to give the police officer by law is your name, your address, and your birthday. Nothing more. Keep your mouth shut and resist the temptation to speak any further. Keep your mouth shut. Get it all done with. You have to get bailed out. Call someone to bail you out and let the lawyers handle it. They know what they're doing. There's lawyers out there who represent you for free who do this all. It's all they do is First Amendment stuff. It's all they do. So keep your mouth shut. All right, number 12. Do not sign any statement or promise to do anything other than show up for a trial. That's all you promise to do. Sometimes, from what I've heard, they'll try to get you to stop preaching until the court date. That's unconstitutional in itself. Because they're saying that they've brought you in and say you're guilty of something. But guess what? In America, you're innocent until proven guilty. Not guilty until proven innocent. You have the right to go right back out and preach the gospel if you want to. Okay? If they confiscate any property, any signs, or anything, they must give you a receipt. Videos, whatever it may be, they must give you. If they don't give you a receipt, that's stealing. That's stealing. And they've done something else unlawful. Okay? So make sure you get a receipt for everything. And therefore, when it's time to pick up, you can pick it up. Okay, let's turn to the second sheet. Does anyone have any questions about that? I think that was really good counsel from that group, and I was glad to be able to share it with you. Okay, we're going to look at just a few of these court cases. You can read over all of them yourself later on. Look at the third one down, 1972. Hostile audience is not basis for restraining otherwise legal First Amendment activity. This is called the heckler's veto. If there's a heckler in the audience, or the crowd's getting unruly, and you haven't done anything wrong, the cops cannot stop you. This happened to me at the St. Patrick's Day Parade last year in Raleigh. I was preaching the gospel. Some people were unruly in the crowd, only a couple. And then these guys came around me and were trying to hug me, I guess, or something like that. And they thought that these people were trying to attack me. The cops did. And the hug guys went away, and I was still preaching the gospel. And the cops brought me out of the crowd and said, "We brought you out of here because of what's happening with the crowd." Now, that's the wrong answer. What the cops are supposed to do is control the crowd, not control the lawful preacher who's doing nothing wrong. But what the cops think in their mind is, well, what's the easiest way to deal with this? Well, let's eliminate the preacher. Eliminate the preacher, there's no longer a crowd. But that's not the constitutional, the lawful thing to do. The lawful thing is that they're supposed to control the crowd, and some of them were acting unlawful. In fact, one of them threatened to hit one of my friends. Okay, they were being unlawful, not me, not my friends. But that will happen at times. But the Supreme Court or the Federal Court of Appeals has already ruled on this. Okay, so sometimes it's good to have these rulings on you, in your pocket. And if you have a reasonable officer, they will read it and they will submit to it. I've seen it happen. Okay, because they care about the law. But sometimes you'll say, well, have you heard about the heck? He says, I don't care about that. And he won't care. All he cares about is dealing with the situation at hand. He doesn't care about the ramifications of it. He thinks you're just some Joe Blow preacher, street preacher, who's not going to do anything about it, who doesn't care about his rights, who doesn't know anything. Okay? Go to the one right below that. Public expression of ideas may not be prohibited merely because ideas are themselves of offensive to some of their hearers. Just because something's offensive, or someone doesn't like what you're saying, or it's unpopular, does not mean you can stop it. Christmas time, and even another time before that, I think it was the International Folk Festival last year, the head of the Arts Council says, we can't have you preach here. People are getting offended. And I said, what are you talking about? I have freedom of religion and freedom of speech. He said, well, if I let you do this, I have to let Mormons do this, and Jehovah's Witnesses do this, and Muslims do this. I said, wait a minute. That's the great thing about America. That's what this country stands for. But she didn't understand that just because something's offensive doesn't mean you can't do it. The Bible says the gospel is offensive. It will be offensive. Okay? But just because someone doesn't agree with it or it's not popular. In fact, just yesterday, I had a lady come up to me at the school. She's part of the admin at the school. I was preaching against the immodesty, the way the women were dressing at school. I wasn't pointing at anyone in particular, just preaching overall that some women dress immodestly, and therefore they're causing men to stumble, causing men to lust. And she approached me afterwards and said that I can't do that, that that's offensive, and that she's going to write the chancellor about it. I said, you can write the chancellor if you want, but the Bible says the gospel, she's a Christian, by the way, it says she is, and it's offensive. And I said, well, the Bible says it is offensive, but just because something's offensive or someone doesn't like what you're saying doesn't mean it's wrong. You know, that's what America's founded on. You can express yourself, even if it's unpopular, even if everyone in the U.S. hates it except for you. You're allowed to do that. Amen. I watched a video recently on YouTube of these Muslims, I think it's in New York City, they were burning American flag and saying, we don't care about America, we care about Islam, we care about Muhammad, Allah. Burning American flag, and they were allowed to do that. Now, why in a country that was built on freedom of speech, that basically had a Christian foundation, why to burn American flag if you're a Muslim and say, Allah, Allah, but I'm not allowed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? That makes no sense. That's a contradiction of itself.
Jerry,
yes?
There's a book, I don't know if you heard of it, the Criminalization of Christianity by
Janet Folger. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody's looking at additional Canada, you know, Florida or California, right. What other states are really coming down heavy on? I mean, is Massachusetts or...
Yeah, a lot of the liberal ones in the Northeast are coming down on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to pass these hate crime stuff where you can't speak against homosexuals, and
right.
Canada's already done that, and
right.
People are being arrested for doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, it's going to come here eventually, unfortunately, and we have to be willing to be prepared for that when it comes. All right, the next one down, right below the floor, Indiana, 1974. Freedom of expression does not mean freedom to express only approved ideas. It means freedom to express any idea. Right below that, the Constitution mandates that access to the streets, sidewalks, parks, and other similar public places for purpose of exercising First Amendment rights cannot be denied broadly and absolutely. If anyone tries to tell you that you can't preach on a public property or hand out tracts or a sidewalk or a park, they are wrong, wrong, wrong. They're wrong. Yes?
Public property is one thing I found out recently. That parking lots are not public property.
Mm-hmm. So parking lots to businesses.
Yeah, to businesses, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's connected to a public, like if you go to a public park and there's a parking lot attached to that, then that's public property. Yeah, but if attached to a business, like Neil said, yeah, then it's not. It's still considered private property. Yes?
One thing, though, if you go to a place like we have a parking lot with Best Buy,
right.
Okay? But they have a road that goes there to connect to other stores.
Right.
That road is public. You can preach on that.
Right.
If it's where it dead ends and it's only for that facility,
right.
You can't preach. But if it goes through, it's like a thoroughfare that goes in front of them.
Right.
You can stand in the gutter and you can face whatever crowd you want. You can preach from there.
That's good. And like, there's a lot of times there's businesses that are close to sidewalks. You can go on the sidewalks out in front of those businesses. Like, for example, on Bragg Boulevard, there's a couple of strip clubs right next to the Cagney's, something else, and Secrets, I think it's called. And there's a public sidewalk out in front of it. And me sometimes and John will go out there in front of there, and they know they can't do anything about it. I've talked to the head bouncers there, witnessed to them, and talked to them, and they realize that we're within our rights to go out there in front of their strip clubs and reach out to people who are going into those right into destruction. Okay? Yes. That's not true. They've given permission by the city to use that property, but that property does not cease to be public property. Yeah. That's the same thing with the Dogwood Festival. Every time they have something going on downtown Fayetteville, this same lady from the Arts Council tries to push this. This is, we have permit for this. No, it's not private property. It still remains public property. All you're given permission to do is to lease this space to people who want to get boosts, and they'll pay you for it. But that doesn't mean this property ceases to be public. I still have freedom to preach, freedom to, and you want to use wisdom, of course. You don't want to preach right in front of a vendor.
They said you can go right over here to the side, but we want to keep, and they're not used to this kind
right.
of thing, so
mm-hmm.
I think it's not they're trying to be mean, they just don't
right.
know. Our city attorney I checked with, and he's slow in getting back. He doesn't know. He was like, I have no clue what your rights are.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the problems here is, I didn't really touch on this when we're talking about police, is that police, if they're coming against you, usually fall into one of two categories. Either they're ignorant, they don't know the facts. I mean, not many cops are educated today on First Amendment rights. I mean, to be honest, friends, for the last 100 years, Christianity has not done a very good job of reaching the lost on the streets, through tracts, one-on-one, especially in open-air preaching. So all of a sudden, through Ray Cummings' ministry and all the ministries out there like his, all these people are going out to the streets all of a sudden. So these cops are kind of flabbergasted. They really don't know how to respond. So some of them are just ignorant. They need to be educated. And then there's some, and these are usually the minimum, these are usually the minority, they don't care. Whether they know or not, they don't care. They don't like what you're doing. That's the minority, though. But it is an educational process. You know. But if I was a cop and I'd know something, I'd be willing to learn about it, not just try to force what I think is right on somebody. You know, so they need to respond rightly as well. So yeah, there is an educational process. Yes?
Gary, question. One time I was in front of Walmart, I was passing out tracks. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Bill about this. Now, at that time, I didn't know my rights. When the store manager, she came out and told me that it was unsolicited.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know at that time, you know,
right.
I didn't know that soliciting was like selling, and that was just passing out tracks.
Right.
Now, in the event something like that happens, and she tells me stop, or I'm going to call the police, I just, you know.
Right, well, Walmart's private property, though. So it wasn't soliciting, but they can still stop you. Now Walmart does have something where you can, I did this when I was a youth pastor over and over again. I'd had a bake sale out in front of it, and I'd actually hand out tracts while people were buying, you know, to raise money for the youth group. So you can go to their customer service inside, and they'll actually let you have a table out in front of Walmart, and you can hand out, you can distribute gospel tracts, do whatever you, I mean, they'll give you permission to do that. But yeah, that is private property, so there's a difference. It's not public property.
They will if you talk to them. We talked to them, they let us see what we had in response to this. He let us walk in the parking lot and pass them out as long as we didn't stop them if they didn't want them.
We gave away hot dogs last weekend at Walmart, but we had to submit it in writing for them to allow us to do it. But that's what you submitted in writing on the church letterhead.
Right.
And we, praise the Lord, was able to give out over 200 hot dogs and witness one-on-one to people last week.
That's great.
Hey Kerrigan, while we're on the subject of private property, I mean, it kind of goes without saying, you can pass out tracts on private property, but if somebody asks you to stop
right.
or leave, then you're obligated to do that.
Right, but you want to use discretion. You don't want to be like a track machine. You want to do it very discreetly, kind of like undercover. And really, just let's be honest, guys, you don't need a gospel tract to witness.
Right.
I mean, just go in there and witness, stop the person and start talking to them.
Yeah.
You can be the gospel tract yourself. And so you don't have to, I mean, and then they can't stop. You're just talking to someone. They can't stop you from doing that. You're just talking to people. Yes.
I would like to say about last weekend, we were told by Walmart employees, thank you for coming here and doing this.
Yeah.
Because we weren't
weren't selling anything.
Right.
Weren't asking, people tried to give us donations, said no, we're not accepting any donations. We're just wanting to do this, and
that's good.
They were very appreciative of it.
Hey, Walmart, all over, in Homestead, Florida, one of the highest theft rates in the country. There's two people in there that have liberty, and they are in there all the time. They've got access all the way up to Bentonville to the highest authority. So like Kerrigan was saying, under the radar screen, be cool. We don't need a gospel track, but they're yeah, they come off and hug your neck and say, thank you.
You
all
do it right.
Do it, be nice.
Yeah, if you do it right, a lot of times people, you won't have any problems. There's, you know, in California, from what Ray Comforter said, people have pushed it enough where actually they can preach inside of a mall if they want to, because of the public access, it becomes public property. Just inside the stores is private property. So if someone was willing to push it enough, we could actually have the malls as being public property. But we always need to be discreet and not trying. We're not trying to disrupt businesses. We're here to preach the gospel. So if you're out there today and you're handing out tracts and maybe a vendor's nearby and maybe they're saying, they come to you and say, well, you're distracting my business away. Well, then just move. Just move. I mean, your spot isn't that important. What's important is that you're being faithful to sow the gospel seed. All right, let's look at one more, the last one on this page. It's a pretty long one. I'll just kind of sum it up for you. An ordinance that prescribes conduct that tends to disturb or annoy others is both vague and broad. So someone said, well, this is disturbing people. They might say, well, this is disturbing the peace. That's too vague and too overbroad, according to this court case. Okay, the very purpose of the First Amendment is to stimulate the creation and communication of new and therefore often controversial ideas. The prohibition against conduct that tends to disturb another would literally make it a crime to deliver an unpopular speech that resulted in a disturbance. Such a restriction is a clearly invalid restriction of constitutionally protected free expression. Okay? So these are some of the things you need to look out for. I mean, when I come into cops, these are the things I hear, oh, you're causing disturbance, disturbing the peace, this crowd is getting unruly. There's a lot of things they say, but you need to be aware that these courts have ruled on this. And the cops don't overrule the courts, whether they like it or not. Yes? Right.
The one we have that we got on the internet, there's also a ruling on that, but that's not sufficient reason.
Right. That's good. Now on the other hand, you give it to the person, they're the one littering, actually. Right. But if you see a track on the ground, pick it up right away and use it again.
Yeah.
Right. You know, be a good serving of Jesus Christ. If you see someone littering, pick it up and use it again, if it can be used. Sometimes, you know, people will try to hand a track back to me, and I usually won't take it back. Because I don't want to be accountable to God for taking a track back from a sinner. If they want to throw it in the garbage, they want to throw it on the ground, I'll let them do it. I throw it on the ground, usually I'll pick it back up. I'll either use it, or if it's torn up, I'll put it in the garbage. Okay? So we always need to make sure that we keep ourselves in check, that we're doing things right. And if we do things right and we have the right protection, audio and video protection, which is the best witness to have, it's an unbiased witness. You know, because the court's going to take the cop's word over your word any day. No matter how bad the cop's been, no matter how good you've been, cops, whatever you were in, so you need to have protection. Now, like I said, some of you who weren't here yesterday, I have this watch that I use as audio protection. It's called an MP3 watch. You can get them on eBay for around, I don't know, $30, John. Is that what it was? About $30 plus shipping. So it's always good to protect yourself. It's always good to have someone else, to not go out by yourself, to have someone else there that can help video, help do audio, whatever it may be, so you can be protected from unlawful cops. You'll eventually, if you're faithful to be a witness of Jesus Christ in the streets, you'll eventually run into unlawful cop. So you need to be ready for it. All right, does anyone have any questions?
Yes. Okay, audio, and it sounds like it's going to be a cool thing, you know, no big problem, but does anybody have video today, or is there not a need?
Well, I have video. I have what I carry. I used to carry a bigger camera. Right. It was too bulky. It was just, I didn't like carrying it around. So I got a little digital camera that has a 4 gigabyte card in it,
right.
And it does video. I can do about 3 or 4 hours of video on it. So I always have it ready. Like when John was preaching yesterday, I had it going.
Right.
When I was preaching last night, John had it going. Okay. For own protection. In fact, we saw a few different cops walk by that said nothing to us.
Yeah.
So praise the Lord for that.